Good morning and welcome once again to In Focus. I'm John Sims, and joining me this morning, a very prominent figure, even more prominent than usual these last few weeks in our community, Smith County Judge Nathaniel Moran. And our topic, as it has been for the last several weeks, is the coronavirus pandemic. Good morning, Nathaniel. Great to have you with us.
Good morning, John. Pleasure to be here with you. Thank you so much.
Don't forget, In Focus is available online. Just go to ktbb.com/InFocus. In Focus is uploaded to our website by the day after the show airs. Nathaniel, you've been county judge for several years now, and this for you and for all of us has just been, and I kind of hesitate to use this word, but there isn't any better one, unprecedented. I look back from my perspective as just a regular everyday citizen and as a news person as well, and think about how different things would be or how normal they'd be if this had never happened. It really kind of amazes me, the adjustments that we've all been able to make to the coronavirus pandemic. And you are front and center. When there's a news conference, you're usually the first person at the microphone. The current stay-at-home order was administered on the county level. So we're basically going to have you talking for about anywhere from 5 or 6 or 7 or 230,000 different people. But let's get started by talking about, let's go back to the beginning when it first became obvious that the county and the city of Tyler and other affiliated entities, probably most prominently NetHealth and UT Health Science Center, realized that they were going to have to get busy on this. What was your first clue that you really needed to kind of shift gears and address this serious pandemic as seriously as you have been?
Well, John, it's a pleasure to be here with you this morning. I think the word unprecedented that you used earlier is a good word. In a lot of sense, it felt a lot like an ambush. If you're looking at it from a military standpoint, you prepare for a lot of different battles and scenarios. But when the moment strikes for an ambush, you're immediately caught off guard, and you need to take a moment to assess the situation. And almost overnight, it felt like this pandemic went from something that was somewhere else to all of a sudden an immediate need that had to be addressed here locally, and needed to be addressed with a joint effort between the city and the county and a lot of different venues.
And this was probably, I'm thinking maybe about the first week of March is when things really kind of start to take a turn for the worse.
That's true. And right about the midweek of the second week is when the acceleration of communication, the acceleration of intensity started up. It was about that week that Gregg County had its first case. We had not yet had our first case until the end of that week. And that's when my phone, of course, started blowing up. And that's when communication with a number of different individuals and decisions started to be necessary here on the local level.
And from there, you took what you term immediate action to stand up a joint emergency operations center between the city of Tyler and Smith County and use what you call a formal incident command structure. And you just say flat out that was imperative to do exactly what?
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot that goes into emergency management. And many folks don't know that by statute, the county judge is the emergency management coordinator here, or the emergency management director here locally. And that's just one of the several hats that county judges around the state wear. But along the way, training and preparation for those emergency situations is imperative. And one of the most imperative parts of that is understanding the ICS structure, that incident command structure. That's something that folks like Chief Coble and Marshall Brooks, who have been our emergency management coordinators through this joint EOC, know intensely because they do it day in and day out. That's where their focus is on a number of different levels. But it's imperative to start beginning to parse out logistics, planning, operations, communications, those areas, so that you understand where's the chain of command, because that chain of command is very different than a chain of command through an organization like the city of Tyler or Smith County. Now you're doing things jointly, and everything needs to be unified so that you don't waste resources, so that you don't waste your time, so that there's clear communication on information, and so that everybody's on the same page about how we move forward, regardless of who their employer is. And that's what the ICS structure does for you.
Okay. Now, your experience, you've been a lawyer for a number of years. You've been on the city council, and now you're the county judge. You have Chief David Coble, the City of Tyler Fire Chief, and Fire Marshal Jay Brooks with Smith County. And it's pretty obvious to me, and I think pretty obvious to you, that it was absolutely critical to have that kind of experience and know-how that has allowed this crew to swing into action on very short notice and get things done as well as you've gotten them done.
That's correct. And, you know, what you end up doing is you end up forming an organizational chart that has the mayor and the city and the county judge at the top from a joint policymaking standpoint position, but then it flows down to those that know and understand on a day-to-day basis how to get this stuff done in an emergency situation, and they put our policies into place in practice every day. If you don't have people that are well qualified and well prepared and well trained for those situations, when they hit you, you can't respond appropriately. And I can tell you, there's no better people in the state than Chief Coble and Marshal Brooks, either from the city or the county side. They were prepared for the situation. They understood what needed to happen. And together, we put personalities aside and we put the needs of our community at the forefront and decided it doesn't matter if it's the city or the county or who's involved, we need to get this stuff done for the community.
Talking to Smith County Judge Nathaniel Moran this morning on In Focus, I'm John Sims, and our topic has been and will continue to be for about the next 24 minutes, the coronavirus pandemic and how Smith County has responded and continues to respond on a day in, day out, maybe even more like a moment to moment basis, because you never know what's going to emerge. And what you've done, as you described it, is you've provided a centralized hub for receipt of information from a variety of sources. And let's get into that a little bit. We're talking hospitals, the Northeast Texas Public Health District, aka NetHealth, nonprofits, education institutions, businesses, associations, governmental entities, churches, disbursement of information in a timely manner to those entities. And now we're getting a clearer picture of how involved this process has been. And, you know, that's just to name those entities is really only the tip of the iceberg. But just thinking about how many different entities and the variety of entities that have been involved with this process just boggles the mind and makes it to me even more amazing that you've been able to get all that put together.
It is boggling, because the city and the county, you know, we've really, when we stood up this joint EOC, we brought in all the stakeholders that needed to be at the table and invited others in the community that wanted to participate to do so by phone. And so on a daily basis, we have 20 people, 10 in each room physically there, and then we have about 40 to 60 others that have participated by telephone every day to understand and receive briefings about what we're doing, what's coming next, what we've just accomplished, what are some of the goals for the coming weeks and months. And then they provide us information, like, for instance, the Restaurant Association has been there from day one. They provided great information about some of the things that they were doing even before our local order went in place to help us understand what was a good response to the COVID pandemic. We've had the Smith County Medical Alliance also participating so that they can provide information about what was going on with private physicians and their needs, not just what was going on at the major hospital institutions, but helping us understand what the clinics and the private physicians also were facing as well. So we've had EMS there at the table every day. It's been an absolute necessity to have that information, because when you're in a policymaking decision, what you need is you need accurate and timely information. That's essential for you to then make critical decisions that are time-sensitive decisions, even if you don't have every bit of information, because it's impossible in this fast pace of COVID-19 to keep up with everything as it rolls out. But if you have as much accurate information as possible, you can make the best policymaking decisions that are in line with what the community needs. And we feel like that's what we've done, and we've gotten a lot of recognition from that across the state and even nationwide, where folks have looked at the joint EOC operations between a major city and a county and said, wow, how do you do that? Because in most counties and cities, quite honestly, personalities flood to the top. Everybody's more interested in a soundbite than they are in sound policy. So soundbite policy becomes the driving factor. That's not been the case here in Smith County and in East Texas. A lot of credit goes to Mayor Martin Hines, City Manager Ed Broussard, the way they've handled the city side of things. They could have easily tried to go a different direction, but you know, because we work together and set our personalities aside and set our organizational structures aside and came together as one unified structure, we were able to get a lot of stuff done.
And that provides, as you say, a unified message and direction to the public, which, and this is real, real important, reduced fear and brought a sense of calm to the public. And reducing that fear, bringing a sense of calm to the public in a potentially panic-creating situation such as this is, I'm sure, just really been right at the core of what you've been trying to accomplish and have accomplished.
That's accurate, John. And that was probably the number one piece of feedback that I got from people in the public after our press conference announcing the local stay-at-home order, when they saw the city and the county together and they saw the medical institutions behind us, the local health authority, George Roberts with the Northeast Texas Public Health District, and his crew. We had all of those jointly together in that press conference. And it wasn't just what we said, but it was how we said it and how we went about reaching that conclusion. It was not a reactionary conclusion. We were not the first ones to jump out there with a local stay-at-home order, because we wanted to make sure that we had received all the appropriate information, assessed that information, analyzed the best avenues to go forward, and then methodically work through those decisions to reach a point where we all came to a consensus agreement. Yes, now's the time to do that and pull the trigger and to impose a stay-at-home order, even though that is against our nature as a liberty-loving people here in Smith County.
I wanted to mention a couple of names real quick. You mentioned George Roberts with NetHealth. Jeff Levine, the Smith County Health Authority affiliated with UT Health Science Center at Tyler. He's been front and center through all of this. I believe you mentioned City Manager Ed Broussard. I'm going to leave out some people, and it's not intentional. But actually, George Roberts and Jeff Levine have already been on this show discussing this from a slightly different angle a few weeks back. So want to make sure we hit as many of the big names as possible, and my apologies to anybody that we might be forgetting. Of course, the hospital directors have been front and center during all this as well. Determining how best to share resources and divide responsibilities, that's certainly been a part of it. You need to assess the needs, prioritize tasks, and here's an important one: eliminate duplicative efforts between the city and the county and other organizations. My own experience volunteering in the nonprofit community brought me in touch with the concept of duplication of effort, pretty much from a negative standpoint early in the game. And I know that's been really, really important, keeping everybody on the same page.
It has been. And what you're seeing now with this joint EOC and the response through the COVID process is not unintentional. It is an intentional reflection of a dedicated effort between the city and the county over the past 3 or 4 years to build relationships, to collaborate, to coordinate, to sit down together. You know, about a year and a half or 2 years ago, we sat down and had our first joint city council commissioners court meeting. In decades. It hadn't been done in at least 40 or 50 years, as best we could tell. That was historic. And more than just the substance of what was discussed during that time period, the fact that we sat down together, that we were talking together, that we worked through trying to build relationships between the leadership of both entities, those relationships have to be built before these emergency situations arise. And we had said that even at the time. Now, we would have never dreamed it would have been an emergency situation like this. Never, ever would we have anticipated a situation like this. But that's why you prepare before that emergency situation arises, because when you're in the heat of making tough decisions, there are tough decisions, you need to have strong personal relationships between your leaders. Otherwise, you're going to get on opposite tracks. You're not going to be able to work through those tough issues.
You bet. Talking to Smith County Judge Nathaniel Moran about the coronavirus pandemic and how Smith County has been responding and will likely continue to respond for a pretty good while yet. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. Now let's talk a little bit more about how this has affected the public. Social distancing. There were different terminologies and different ideas being tossed around from the beginning, and that has kind of evolved over time. In the beginning, we were talking about making sure that you regularly clean surfaces with something containing bleach, talking about washing your hands, using hand sanitizer. A lot of that we're still talking about, but the one concept that has really emerged, risen to the top, if you will, is social, or as it's now sometimes being referred to, physical distancing. And I keep hearing over and over again that that has really been the key to keeping that the incidents down in Smith County and elsewhere in East Texas, Gregg County, other counties as well, and what they call flattening the curve.
Yeah, John, that's right. And physical distancing is the correct term, because when you interact with someone, we said this from the very beginning, before we even put the local stay-at-home order in place, that when you interact with someone, you ought to assume that they have COVID-19. By doing so, your interaction physically with that person is going to change. You're going to change how close you get to them. You're going to be conscious of whether or not you're breathing or coughing on them, or whether or not you've now touched surfaces that they've touched. You are now highly conscious about those types of interactions, and you're going to change your behavior as a result of that. Those are healthy habits that we think are imperative to continue to utilize once we come out of this regulatory time frame, once we get back into a station of living our life freely without any government regulation under the emergency orders that are in place. And I bet you we're going to see a downturn in the number of flu cases next year as a result of this, because people are going to be more apt to be careful during the spread of other viruses like the flu that we have seasonally.
My impression is that by and large, people in Smith County have responded well, by no means perfectly, to this. And let's be honest about it, but we want to touch on that a little bit later on in the show. And let's just kind of hold that thought for now, because I want to hit some of the other points that we want to make sure that we get across this morning. Organizing a joint EOC executive committee provided opportunity for sharing of sensitive information. And we haven't really gotten into that, but a lot of this information is going to be very sensitive. How do you feel? Let's talk about that a little bit more, about what you mean by sensitive information and how you succeeded in keeping what needs to be sort of out of the public eye, within your ranks.
Right. So, even though we have a joint EOC meeting every day with the large group, we also have that followed up every day. And for a number of weeks, we went through the weekend with an EOC executive committee that was really the 8 or 10 folks that needed to be in the room. You mentioned most of them earlier, Chief Coble and Mayor Hines and Ed Broussard, myself, Jay Brooks, the Chief of Police, and then Northeast Texas Public Health District, as well as Dr. Jeff Valine. When we're in that room together, we're able to, by statute, assess and look at information that is not available to the public. For instance, exact locations of where somebody might have COVID, or some confidential proprietary information that hospitals are willing to share with us on a limited basis to help us understand their capacity, their need for PPE, their ability to respond quickly if the COVID crisis were to spike out. And that was really our initial concern several weeks ago, was making sure that we did not allow a spike, but we kept that curve flattened so our hospitals weren't overrun. So understanding the capacity at the hospital level was important. I'll tell you, those hospitals were super terrific, and you could not ask for better medical partners here in Smith County than UT Health East Texas and Christus Trinity Mother Frances Hospital. Their leadership is second to none. Their physicians, their clinicians, from top to bottom, they know what they're doing. They had great processes and procedures in place, but it took us some time to coordinate efforts between them and us and get information so that we understood what needs they had and how we could respond and what we needed to do from a community policymaking standpoint to ensure that they could continue to operate the way they needed to.
Talking to Smith County Judge Nathaniel Moran about the coronavirus pandemic, I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. You mentioned that I believe you did. We'll mention it right now if you didn't. I got to say this. There's so much information that has been just really kind of avalanched down on all of us from every direction. It's kind of hard to keep track of it all, but really impossible. But holding weekend meetings of the Joint EOC Executive Committee, it's been a 7-day-a-week process for all of you, and that's important to note as well. This allowed for reflection of the prior week, determination of the next week's goals, so when you get things back rolling up again on Monday, you're ready for it.
That's right, and especially during those first three weekends, that was it. Really critical, because during the week you were spending all of your time really responding to emergency crises, new information that was coming out on a minute-by-minute basis, and the time to stop and reflect and kind of analyze where are we at? Where do we need to go? You needed to take a step away from that day-to-day activity, and on the weekends that gave us an opportunity to do so, where we were able to just converse through and say, okay, here's what we know, here's what we don't know, here's what we think we need to get accomplished next week, and then go ahead as a as an executive team and say, all right, we're gonna assign this task to these folks, we need to call this nonprofit organization, get them pulled in, and by Monday then we had the plan in place so that we could put it into action. And that was really crucial, because if you lose those days over the weekend, you just go home and sit around, and you come back on Monday, everybody's waiting for you to tell them, what's the next step? Well, uh-huh. we were ready for that, and that served a great purpose. Let me give you a good example of that. East Texas Food Bank, we saw them on a Friday deliver 1,000 meals, 1,000 boxes of meals to families in East Texas. Loved that idea, want to make sure it continued. Called them over the weekend and talked to them. We made that a priority for the next week. And on a weekend call and conversations with them, we found out their greatest need was they needed personnel in place to help them make these boxes so they could give them out. That next Monday, we had a STAR request up through the state, through the Texas Department of Emergency Management, for the National Guard to come over here. And because of that quick response, the National Guard was here within about 36 hours and was here in Tyler to then provide that assistance that allowed them to continue that effort that following Thursday and then every subsequent week since then. Had it not been for that, probably would have missed a week in there where we're delivering meals to families, because they needed that logistical help. And so those weekend conversations and prioritizations were important for that.
Mm-hmm. And another thing, and this is where we've come into the picture, I can tell you that we news folks have been putting in a lot of overtime on this, and that's because you've been giving out. And you call it consistent, clear, and constant communication. I would have to agree with that from my standpoint as a news reporter. Doing it through daily public service announcements, press releases, or through public service announcements and daily press releases, the Northeast Texas Public Health District Daily Dashboard, numerous interviews, weekly briefings to Commissioner's Court on Tuesday, weekly press briefings on Thursday, special banner on the website, social media infographics, and a special email address for COVID questions. And I want to point out to everybody that so much of this information is available online. You can check the KTBB.com website. We stay up with it. And you can go to the NetHealth website, get a lot of information. You can get information about what's going on not only in Smith County, but around the NetHealth service area, which covers several counties. And just basically using the media and other public information resources to get the message out. I guess we can both agree that that's really worked well for you.
It has worked well. You know, I'm of the belief that confusion creates fear and clarity quells fear. And we wanted to be clear and direct and positive about everything that we were saying. We did not want dual messages going out from the city or the county. This Joint Information Center, the JIC as we call it, through their EOC, has both city and ISD and hospital and Northeast Texas Public Health District and county representatives on it. They get together daily after all of our EOC meetings and decide what information needs to go out in a unified message so that we're not putting out separate messages. Even if you're trying to communicate the same thing, if you communicate it in two different ways, it could be taken differently. So that unified message was very important throughout this process. And then the public was able to get significant long briefings on Tuesday during Commissioner's Court from me, and then on Thursday through our weekly press briefings with everybody else. And that was intentional. We set those days up in such a way that we knew that the public would get two really long full briefings each week, in addition to the daily dashboard and the daily press releases that were coming out. And that was in addition to other interviews and press press discussions as the need arose in between those time frames.
So. Okay. Here's an important one. And honestly, Judge Moran has given me a huge number of bullet points that we could potentially go over if we had about a five-hour show in front of us. And I look at this, and it tells me the intricacies of what you all have been doing. And even at that, it's only the tip of the iceberg. We're not going to be able to get to all of it. But one thing that kind of grabs my eye, focus on those things we have control over. That's a good general rule anyway, and I know it's been crucial to you through this whole process.
Yeah, it has been. You know, that's a good general rule in life anyway. And I know during this time period, all of us have felt frustrated because there is a level of decision making that's out of our hands. Even me as the county judge, I don't have all the decision making authority. I have to rely on the discretion given to me by the state and by the governor in these situations. And I had some great advice from some advisors from other outlying cities. I've been talking with them on multiple times per week, the other outlying mayors, and they reminded me, hey, Judge, we might have done things maybe a little different here or there than you did, but we're all together in this and we're behind you. Now, remember that as you talk to the governor and relay things up to the governor's office, because there is a chain of command in all of this situation. And so I have to realize where my place in the chain of command is and work to control and do the best things that I can do with those things that are under my authority. And those things that are outside of my authority, I can't worry about. And Mayor Hines has said that too, in connection with frustrations over getting more testing here in Smith County and more test kits and more PPE. Those things that we early on identified as needs and we were talking to the state about and trying to solve ourselves, but we realized quickly that was out of our hands. We could not solve those problems. That was going to have to come from a different authority.
Okay. And speaking of a different authority, Governor Abbott, this coming Monday, is due for what we expect to be a big announcement. He's already begun loosening some of the statewide restrictions. Based on what we've been hearing, we can expect that to continue beginning this coming Monday, but it's going to happen in stages, and people need to be paying attention. They need to be paying attention to what's happening, I think, nationally, around the world, on a statewide level, in neighboring counties, because, you know, people travel between one county and another, and of course, here locally in Smith County. And on that note, I got a few minutes left in the show, and we talked about this earlier. We promised we'd bring it back. We will now. What's your take on how people have been responding to this in Smith County, and what do they need to continue doing? And some of the ones who maybe aren't following the rules, what do they need to start doing?
Well, there is no finer community than Smith County. I'm so proud of the people here in Smith County and how they behave throughout this. As I said in the first press conference where we did our local stay-at-home order, what was really going to make the difference was whether or not people took on the mantle of understanding that they needed to make healthy individual choices in their individual lives, their commercial lives, whatever the case may be. That is still the case. That's made the difference in my mind. Now, we've acted as a stopgap measure from a governmental standpoint to help stem the tide, so to speak, but ultimately, long-term, the difference in this community is going to be made by those individual choices that we make as we move forward with understanding there's a new health paradigm that we're living in. But I'll tell you, businesses here are already ahead of the game. They're ready to reopen. They've got procedures and processes in place that I guarantee are going to be safer and better than anything that a governor's staff can come up with, anything that I could come up with at the county level, because they understand their responsibility to the families that they serve, to the community that they serve, to their customers that come in. They're going to embrace this. And now that everybody has enough information to make some great educated decisions on this, I think this community is situated in such a way that we're ready to go. Not just an off-on switch, but man, we could really get back to work pretty quickly here and rely on our businesses to make good voluntary decisions about how they're going to operate their businesses in a healthy manner for their customers, and then rely on individuals to make good, healthy decisions about how they go about their commercial lives.
Mm-hmm. And just to kind of make sure we touch all the bases here, let's be honest about it. A few of them have had to go out of business permanently, and we regret that. We could have anticipated it. It's sad to see them go. But by and large, if the Joint Information Center and the Emergency Ops Center basically continue doing their jobs, if I hear you right, you're looking at Smith County being able to come back, maybe in some ways even stronger because of the lessons learned than it was before.
I think that's very true. This community is a resilient community, and it's devastating to me to hear the stories of businesses that have had to close or the lives that have been lost. There's just no way to describe it in any other way than to say that's devastating. Our hope was that we could mitigate that. We worked to mitigate the loss of lives throughout this process. We worked to mitigate the loss of business. We were at the forefront in our local order, even as of having things like the locked business provision, which was unique across the state, where it allowed for businesses to continue to operate even though they were considered to be non-essential businesses, and that was crucial for them to continue their livelihood.
Mm-hmm. And we are just about at the end of the show. There's so much more that we could discuss, but there are going to be some new developments real soon. I'd like to thank you, Judge Nathaniel Moran, Smith County Judge, for coming in and getting us up to speed on how the county's been dealing with the coronavirus. Thanks.
It's been a pleasure, John. Thank you.
You bet. I'm John Sims. Thank you for joining us. See you again next week on In Focus.